Hello, and welcome to a special edition of No Lights Paranormal Podcast, where we are discussing the eclipse today that happened today, obviously, and we're going over the events of it. So this is a special non-states, non-roundtable discussion on what we did today. Yes. See, didn't even need to write that down. I had it down pat.
It was just boom, right there on the tip of your tongue.
It fell off. It stumbled a little bit, but I got it.
You know what? It works.
So, and we actually have a special guest today on the show.
The unfortunate addition, the offering to the Fae, Alex and Teresa's child, Ezra.
Actually, I'm surprised you said child after saying like offering to the Fae. I figured you'd be like, their offspring.
The offspring. Yes, indeed, my dearie dears, I finally got my boy on the podcast. Not sure how we handled that one, but here he is.
It's called bullying.
Bullying, that's right, we were bullying.
Well, that's certainly what it felt like.
So today we went up to the Cuyahoga Valley National Park to a specific spot where we all very much enjoy just spending some downtime and chilling in the woods and hanging out with fae creatures and possibly Bigfoot, who knows. And we went up there specifically to watch this amazing historical event with a full moon eclipsing the sun, so that's pretty freaking cool.
Yeah, it was, even though it's hard to explain when you're just trying to explain an eclipse.
right.
Even though everybody knows what it is.
I think that the cool part was that it was actually a supermoon, and the eclipse in total. Correct. Obviously, we were in the path of totality here in Ohio, which is really odd for Ohio to get anything cool, and the clouds parted, and the rain held out, and Ohio said, here you go, guys. Watch the eclipse. And we are pleased.
Yeah. So, hopefully you guys had a good experience with it as well. And that's the end of the podcast. See you guys.
No, that's it. We're done.
No, hopefully you guys had a good experience out there as well. And hopefully you guys were all safe because accidents do happen. Mm-hmm. So, hopefully everybody had a good day with it. But, yeah, let's start this off.
Yeah. So, I mean, first things first is, you know, we pulled into the driveway of the place where we decided to sit and watch the eclipse, and we were pretty certain that, you know, everything up there was going to be jam-packed with people, and it was. There were lots and lots of people out in the parks trying to get the best spot, watch the eclipse, and so we specifically selected the place that we selected so that we could kind of have it to ourselves.
Yeah.
And we did. It worked out very, very well. We got there. We were the only visitors at that particular location. It's going to remain unnamed.
Yeah.
It was not a trailhead. Yeah. So
I don't even know why you're getting that far into it.
We get out of the car and walked around, and it was just the most beautiful day. It was dang near 70 out today.
Yeah, it was hot. 70.
It was so beautiful, so incredibly. I mean, hell, right now it's 64 and clear, and we're at, you know, 8:20 at night. So it's just, it's been an absolutely amazing day, showing us what spring's got coming for us, I hope, soon. And yeah, so we had our little special glasses, and at first you could only see just a little itty-bitty thumbnail of the moon, and, you know, then it covered more and more to the point where, you know, eventually we were literally standing in the dark. And that lasted for almost 4 solid minutes. It was the most beautiful and magical and stunning thing I've ever seen in my life, to be perfectly honest. It was amazing.
Also, it didn't feel like 4 minutes.
It felt more like 20, I think.
It did.
It felt like 20 seconds to me. Like,
yeah, it seemed really short.
I literally feel like we were standing there in the dark.
It felt like for as long as it took to cover up the sun, like as bright as it was up until the point where like the sun was gone, like it brightened up. Super fast.
When it uncovered, it did brighten up ridiculously quickly. It took forever for it to get dark, but then it was like, boom, light.
It felt like it lasted as long as we needed it to.
That's well, fair.
I'll agree with that, as long as we needed it to.
And I understand what you're saying about it, because it seemed a little weird, because like you said, as the moon is covering up the sun, it got dim, it got all that, and it lasted for a little while, but as soon as it broke, it was just full on daylight again.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like, that makes no sense.
That was the craziest thing.
Now, ever. Whether it's something that our eyes needed to adjust to things that were going on, or the sun itself, maybe just that little bit of light seemed like a lot of light to us because our eyes were used to the dark.
Exactly.
But even still, when it was dark, I didn't feel that total darkness feel.
See, now, I had a completely opposite experience. I felt like I was literally standing in pitch black for at least half of the time that it was dark.
Yeah, no, I didn't.
Like, it was dark, dark where I was standing.
No, I didn't feel like that at all. Ezra, did you think it was total
My
darkness?
My experience was interesting, but we'll get to that.
Okay,
I was just asking if you thought it was dark, man.
Yeah. Well, yes, it was dark.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it was so beautiful, too. So,
yeah, it was a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Facts. Alex took some really, really nice pictures, and I'm going to go ahead and post them for you guys. They're gorgeous. They're so gorgeous. Something to be said for Samsung.
So, I got one on my iPhone just as well, so don't even try that shit.
So, enough of the boring stuff.
Yes.
Clearly, as you know, you listen to our podcast, you follow our page. Maybe not yet. Maybe you will. We are paranormal investigators.
So what better thing to do during the eclipse?
So let's get to the exciting part. We go to places where we have certain semblances of certain activities during a solar eclipse and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. During a supermoon solar eclipse.
It was so fucking cool.
The veil gets thin. Things you don't normally see, you start seeing.
And so,
grow hair in weird places.
That's weird. So that's actually why I preface with the fact that we did in fact go into the Cuyahoga Valley National Park, because we already have released our special episode for the roundtable, starting to sort of delve into our discussion about the park. And this was our secret sort of special location at the park, and it did not disappoint. All of the things that we've been experiencing happened. We saw some very interesting things, got some very burning questions answered, and inherited multiple new questions.
Much like every time we came home with a lot more.
Yeah
that are still bugging me, like the old ones.
Exactly. So yeah, explain what happened. So I stood up in the original location, and you three decided to head down the hill over the valley and go to the Indigo Lake trail.
Mm-hmm.
Not the trail head, but the trail itself, like in the middle of the trail.
Yeah.
So talk about that. Tell them what happened.
Okay, let me preface it by saying this. At the time it was happening, I think we had probably about 12 minutes to go to full eclipse. 12 minutes seems about, well, we'll say maybe 20 minutes.
Yeah,
I'd say about 20.
Yeah.
So in that time, it's getting darker. It's in the twilight stage of things. Everybody knows that the time between times happens when there's very dim light, and you can kind of sees things because your eyes are light and dark adjusted, so you can kind of see a little bit more in there and what's going on. That's the time we decided to go on our walk, and kind of went down the hill into the little valley there, and
y'all left me alone.
You had the opportunity to come, you chose not to.
Yep.
Don't play the victim when you did it.
I made the wrong choice.
Yep.
Or the right one.
Yeah.
Who knows?
So, I can only speak for what I saw when I went down there. Didn't see much at first, just kind of saw a path open up to me, and I took it. These two followed along with me as I get down there. Now, mind you, you're in the woods. You're going to get pricker bushes, thick places you can't walk. But when you see paths starting to open up to you, all right, you're letting me know where to walk. I'll just take that as it is, and I'll just walk in that direction. Came across a clearing that should not have been there. Like, literally all the vegetation around it, the grass, everything was dead because we're just coming out of winter. But this had grass grown, laid down in you. Like, you could tell deer were bedding there.
Mm-hmm.
But
right, and there is that little valley area. That's a great space for that.
Yeah, and there is a tree sticking right up out of the ground. Granted, it was a dead tree, but it still looked pretty strong.
Yeah, it was like cut off at what, like 20 feet, 15, 20 feet.
Yeah, somewhere around there. Yeah. I stood there and I'm like, this is different because right where it was is right where I saw the fairy ring. Mm-hmm. Kind of weird. So that's what I experienced when I went down there. I'll let the other two jump in on what they experienced to that point so far, because at different points, different things popped off.
Well, I will say up to that point, like, so clearly when we went from said location, we had a destination in mind.
Correct.
To be fair, my goal was to get to said destination, and sometimes, I mean, to Joe's credit, much like we do a lot of the times, I'll let the woods pick the path for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes it works out. Other times you get lost.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably not the best way to go hiking in certain circumstances, but I kind of know this place well enough.
You're right.
And yeah, it was actually kind of weird the way that we came up on that place. So, again, 15, 20 foot tall tree that was just kind of chopped off. No leaves, no branches.
Yep.
It almost looked like a weird totem pole-y kind of
thing.
Yeah,
a little bit, yeah.
Just without carvings, right? Probably, what, 10 or 11 foot path of just like flat, empty grass going around it.
Yeah.
Like perfect circle.
Yep. Yep. That means you speak, Ezra.
And then it let us go to the next.
Yeah.
So, obviously, you walked down there with them. What was your experience when you left our location down in the valley and then up into by the path?
It wasn't as exciting as I'd like to say it was, but I did follow most of the way through the valley, and before they went up the hill to the trail, there was a birch tree, is the clearest thing I remember.
Yeah.
With, like, it looked like there were almost snakes carved into it. Like, chunks taken out, and it just seemed unusual, and I kind of felt drawn to touch it, so I
he learned a very valuable lesson.
Reached out, and I touched it. I was satisfied then. I continued on following that.
Okay, so at this point, we kind of all like, oh, this is cool. Sat there for a couple minutes, Ezra touched the thing, and then we moved on. So, again, much like Alex said, we let the forest choose our path. Like, that's what we did. Found a clearing, went into it, followed the path up to just get from point A to point B. Sometimes the quickest way to do that is go route C. So we finally get to the part to where we're going to come up the other side of the valley to get to the Indigo Lake Karn. I don't know what possessed these two to go a different route, but I saw something open up, and I'm like, oh, this looks like the easiest route up. Let me go up it. And I got up there, what, probably about 3 minutes before you guys came up or something like that? Maybe a minute and a half.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
So, when I got up to the top of the hill, I was literally at the Karn.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's where it dropped me off at. So, I'm like, all right, cool. Mind you, going up this hill, 70 degrees, it's hot out.
Yeah.
Not, you know, coming out of winter, your body's used to colder temperatures, so when it's a little bit hotter out, your body's like,
and we all decided to wear, like,
hoodies.
Thicker, sweatshirt kind of material.
Well, we did. Alex didn't.
I was in a t-shirt.
So, anyways, I get to the top of the hill, I stop to collect my breath, and I hear this dog come running up to me, panting, but there's no dog there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm used to hearing that kind of stuff there, so it didn't bother me whatsoever. I'm just kind of like, whatevs. And just heard it. Stopped right by me. And I'm like, okay, they're here. I immediately texted the group chat to tell them, like, hey, the dogs are here.
Mm-hmm.
And literally beyond a shadow of a doubt, I heard different path in my ear.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay. That's when they came up.
I feel it's important to mention that we didn't go up the same way you went up.
Yeah.
But you did call to us, right?
Mm. Yes, upon going up the hill, I looked back and noticed that they were trying to find a way to get up. So I shouted back. I'm not going to shout now because I don't want to kill your ears. But just shouted back, hey, you can come up this way. And they didn't hear me at all. So I'm like, all right, just went up the trail.
Yeah, he did not. From my perspective, what I saw, he did not stop. He did not speak. He did not
No,
do anything.
I stopped, turned around, and looked at you both and said, hey, you can come up this way. It's easier.
And I think this is a really important time to mention that this is not the first time that something like that has happened. There have been other times when paths open themselves up and, you know, one group of two took one path and the other group took the other path, and somehow we ended up completely not being able to hear or see each other whatsoever, even though we were really not all that far apart.
Yeah,
do you want to talk about that, like, real quick?
No, because we're going to get into that.
Okay.
So yeah, that's when you two come walking out from the hill and came out onto the path where the carn was.
Yeah, so when we originally left the little circle spot with the tree, right?
Yeah.
When it opened up through the set of briars, because let's face it, to be fair, it took a minute for that to open up.
Right. Okay, I got you.
Like, because when I first stepped into that little circle, I'm like, oh, there's not a way other than the way we just came in.
Yeah.
And then I look over and they opened another door, whatever they are. But when I initially stepped through that, it literally just showed me the path and an open bank back where we originally saw the footprints so long ago.
Yeah.
And, like, it was literally like a 5-foot wide path all the way down the side of the creek bed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Other than, like, the two spots where the trail turns at the end where, I had to go across the creek, but...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From that point, due to what happens every time we go up there, I made sure that Ezra was very close.
Okay. Yeah, I gotcha.
Within, X amount of feet.
Yeah, I think like 80% of the time I had my hand on your shoulder so I wouldn't lose you.
I think I have like a solid 3 to 5 foot rule there. Like,
yeah.
And yeah, so like we just decided we were going to go down and the easiest mode that it gave us was where we usually come down.
Okay. I got you. No, I wasn't saying that you didn't. I was just like, oh, they chose a different path. Okay. But yeah.
But yeah, from the time that we split, I didn't hear or see you at all.
Yeah, no, I called back at least twice. Because I even remember shouting at first, the dogs are here. And then when nobody responded, and I could see you guys the whole time. Nobody responded. They didn't even look in my direction, so they didn't even acknowledge that I said something. That's when I sent the text. Because I was like, all right, they're not acknowledging that I said anything. Let me send a text.
Yeah.
You know. So yeah, they come up to the hill. And Ezra had an interesting thing that he wanted to do.
Okay.
Because I've done it before and we've told him about it, so he wanted to try it. Walk around the cairn counterclockwise 3 times.
Ah, yes.
You look so disappointed.
Did you actually do that?
No.
I cut him off.
Yeah.
It was my fault.
He wanted to do it, but I told him if we've already done it, you're going to do it again and cut it off.
Yeah.
So just let it go with that. We'll get you next time.
There were branches there, so honestly, I don't mind much. I don't like doing
Kid doesn't
branches.
Do branches.
I really don't.
So, yeah, we waited. Kind of started to get a little bit twilightish at the time. But still, clearly, you could see it was still daylight. No problems with visibility whatsoever.
Yeah, and to be fair, when you say we waited, it wasn't like we were like standing around like,
no.
It was literally one of those we did what we did, and we're like, all right, on to the next. What are we doing?
Yeah.
I'm going to mention you kicking the offering.
To be fair,
I think he corrected
in the location where that was at, it didn't really feel like an offering. It just felt like one of those people doing like that geocaching stuff.
Yeah.
There was like a bracelet and a little, like one of those glass yogurt bottles.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it was just like a beaded bracelet. So I feel like it's one of those things where, you know how people do that geocache stuff where like they leave stuff in like a little container and.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it could have honestly just.
I left it there. I wasn't touching it.
What I find weird is that used to be. There used to be a carving in a plastic packet there, and it's not there.
Yeah, anymore. The little carving of like a house or something.
Yeah, it's not there anymore.
Interesting.
But so, we don't fuck with the Baba Yaga, so, you know.
We just kick it.
We just kicked it.
No, at that point in time, we decided to go show Ezra the kind of the bowl that we always talk about. Alex wanted to show Ezra it, so all right, cool. Now, the reason why I said don't talk about it because we're going to bring this up is because I remember that time.
Yeah.
And Alex and Ezra walked into the woods.
Mm.
Technically, because last time, because of what happened, Ezra didn't get to see it.
Yeah.
Well, there was also another time when Ezra and I stood back on...
That's the time I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, me being cognizant of that, and knowing I've been up here before, I've been throughout those woods 1,001 times, if that does happen, I know where to go.
Yeah.
I can get in there. Much like, if he did that, he wouldn't be able to do it because he's never been there before.
Right.
I knew right where it was at, I knew all the points leading up to it, how to get there and all that. So, I was like, let me test this theory. So they walked into the woods, and I took the cement path, walking around to come in where we normally go.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to see if the same thing happened.
Gotcha.
And it did.
Mm-hmm. There's something funky about that.
And I want to ask you, because I've already asked him this, I want to ask you this now, Alex. When you guys walked into the woods, and I started walking when I got around the bend, I looked back at you two and shouted, "Can you hear me?"
No.
There we go.
I would say, much like was described to us last time, and this time I paid a little bit more attention because...
Right.
5 to 6 feet in, I could not see nor hear you.
Yeah. And see, that's weird because I could see them plain as day. Like, I'm looking across from you right now, Teresa. I can see you.
Just straight up to me.
Could see. It's like they were in your driveway. I was that close.
That's exactly the way that it was for us.
Yeah.
Like, we could see you, and we kept saying shit, and there was no response
from
us.
Yeah, there was, like...
So, I'm going to let you two explain your experience inside that wood and what you found, but I want to explain mine outside of it first.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like it's important. You said the last time Ezra didn't get to see that because he went around, correct?
Well, so Ezra had paused and was taking a picture, and I wasn't thinking anything of it because, I mean, you were there last time.
Yeah.
We're not traveling fast.
Yeah.
And in fact, I was...
Probably going slower, yeah.
Because I was breaking branches for other people to...
Yeah.
Because...
Ezra doesn't
actually,
like
to be fair, maybe we should have taken that as a signal. It was not necessarily opening pathways as much as it usually does.
Okay.
Remember, I had to pull back a lot of briars that night. But
okay.
But as slow as we were going, I thought they were right behind us.
Yeah.
And we're like, no, you...
Well, no. I meant today.
Yeah. I know.
Okay.
I'm prefacing it by... But as far as today goes, like I said, I made it a point to kind of go, but Ezra was like right on my hip.
Okay. From the outside looking in, they walked off a little bit, and I had the thing in my head like, oh, I'm going to go this way.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Ezra turn around. I said, I'm going to go this way. You guys continue on because I have a theory I want to play out. I want to see if this works. I saw Alex turn around and kind of give me that look like... I'm like, all right, it's just something we're doing. Like, you didn't give me a look?
I don't even remember turning around.
Okay.
I did look. As we were walking in, I was, of course, with him, and you had walked off, and I was just kind of mumbling, play stupid games, win stupid prizes.
Fair.
I expected you to either follow us right there, just a little bit behind,
yeah,
or do what you did and go up the way that we
did. Yeah, yeah. No, you straight up turned around and looked at me and kind of gave me that, dude, I want you to go with me look. So it was kind of like a disapproving almost look, like, dude, how dare you leave me? Like, almost that kind of look. So you're saying you didn't give a look or even turn around. That's weird in itself, yeah, right there. So, anyways, they walk in. I walk around because the way it works is where they went in at, there's the trail actually goes a little bit and then curves around the bend here.
Yeah.
I came around a bend. I know exactly, we call it the carpet log because it's covered in moss. Mm-hmm. That's where we normally go in at to get to the bowl. I know exactly where that's at. I've been there 1,001 times. Mm-hmm. I walked by, didn't see it. Didn't see it at all. And I actually walked forward, then walked back because I thought maybe I overpassed it.
See, that blows my mind. It's literally, we've all quite literally been there 1,000 times.
Yeah. So, I was like, all right, well, I don't see this is weird, I don't see the carpet log. And I thought maybe the moss had fallen off because sure, it's winter, so maybe it's just a log and I'm looking for the carpet, the moss. But I can't see it because it's not there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No, there was no semblance of anything. It was like it didn't exist.
That's insane.
So I'm like, all right. So, like I said, I've been there 1,001 times. Know the terrain.
Mm-hmm.
So I walked down a little bit farther. And once you get past that moss-covered log, there's a clearing on the other side.
Yeah.
I know that because I've been there. So I went in from there.
Okay.
Which took me around the back end of where that bowl
was. Yeah, it's kind of by where that big tree is, like, yeah, at an angle.
Yeah. So, again, as I round the bend, I look back at those two and ask them, can you hear me?
Hmm.
No response. They didn't even indicate that they even heard it. Didn't even look over in my direction. They kept on moving. Hmm. So I was like, okay, this is turning out to be a great science experiment. Yeah. I shouted in there, can you hear me? And you guys kept moving.
All right, so...
No, I know you guys can't see this, but Alex has got this, like, super perplexed look on
his
face.
I'm trying to navigate this timeline-wise. Because, A, I was super focused on him.
So right,
I
wasn't, right, right.
I did not look back at you at all.
Okay.
And no, I absolutely did not hear you.
Okay.
So I'm trying to get the timeline of when you would have walked there down to the carpet log, back a little bit, back up to where you would have went in.
By the time I finally showed up to you guys.
That was when we were coming out.
Well, yeah, but what I'm saying is, from when you guys were calling me trying to figure out where I was till the time that I showed up, you're trying to figure out that timeline?
No. So, you said we went in, and then mm-hmm. you went down attempting yeah. to locate the carpet log.
Yeah.
And then you decided to go ahead and go in to the other side.
I walked up to the clearing first,
mm-hmm.
realized, like, wait a minute, I'm not seeing this because this clearing is after the carpet log. So I walked back. It was maybe a total of maybe a minute and a half to 2 minutes. That's it.
And you said that we, again, kind of looked back at you and just kept going?
The first time when I said I'm going to walk the regular path and go in at the carpet log, Ezra had asked where, you know, he had asked where I was going. I was like, I'm going to walk the regular path. I got theory to do out. I'm going to go in at the carpet log. You would look back, gave me like a, dude, you're not coming? Kind of like almost like a disapproving look, and then kept it moving. When I crossed the bend, I could still see you guys, and I yelled, can you hear me? You guys didn't even acknowledge it. And just kept walking.
Huh.
That's interesting.
I'm trying to calculate this out because, and it's not anything going on here at the table yeah, between
yeah.
us.
Yeah.
But I feel like by all rights, despite the fact that it was his first time when we were close, we were not moving slowly that time.
No.
So by the time that you got up there to turn around that bend to look back at us, we shouldn't have been in view.
You were in perfect view. Like I was looking at your backyard, you're at the fence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See, and that's the exact same shit that we experienced the last time.
Yeah. The fun part there is that we did not see you, we did not hear you. We both like called for you, whistled for you. I did not hear that at all. We did not see you until we got to the path of the
Red. This is the reason why I chose to go that path, because I was cognizant of that time and I know the terrain like the back of my own hand.
Right.
And I'm aware of that situation. So I could test it, try it, and let's see if this works. Because I know it from that angle, because I was inside the woods looking at you guys. Mm-hmm. I know it from, but I do not know it from this angle.
Yeah.
So I wanted to learn both sides of it in order to figure it out.
This time I knew you, so I was moving a little bit. Like, I knew that you would find your...
Yeah.
Either one of us, you drop us in there, we'll find the hole eventually.
Yeah, right.
Right? I wasn't really worried about you.
Yeah.
I knew you could find your way to it.
Yeah.
So... I wasn't going slow.
No. Right.
Slow enough to help navigate him, but I never once looked back.
Yeah.
I never once slowed down.
Yeah.
By the time we got to the bowl, that was the first time I stopped and turned around, and I was like, I was expecting you to come around the side where the carpet log is, to be fair.
Yeah, I figured that.
I didn't hear you. I didn't see you. We whistled.
Mm-hmm.
We yelled.
Yeah. Nope. Didn't hear that at all.
I considered calling.
I kind of wish it would have.
That would have been interesting.
But we approached where the bowl is, and sadly, because I was like, where the fuck did Joe go? And at that point, oddly enough, I feel like the darkness started to...
creep in a little bit, yeah.
More rapidly start increasing, so I'm like, shit, we gotta get back over there before...
Yeah.
But as we approached the bowl and crested the hill, I saw skittering... across the top of the rim. And it went over by where the crews usually are.
Which is where I went in at. Here's the funny part. As I'm coming around the back end, because like I said, I've been there before, I know how to get there. As I'm coming in, I'm coming around the back end where we went out the last time to get to that clearing. I'm coming in that direction. I see you guys over at the bowl. I start yelling your name. Alex. Alex. You're not paying attention. I'm like, all right, maybe Ezra will hear me. I yell for Ezra. You guys are both looking down at the ground. So I'm like, all right, let me... Maybe they're just... I don't mean much to them, so they're not talking to me. So
that's exactly what
All joking. So I was like, all right, just let me get closer. Maybe they're discussing something and, you know, all that. So I come around the back end. As I'm coming up to where... And let me describe it for the listeners. There's around the back end of that, where that little bowl is at, that we call it, there are little hills and valleys. Like, it peaks, it comes up, there's a dirt mound, then it goes into like a little valley and comes up. They're not that big. There's about four of them that are small. As I'm coming up, it's right behind them. I can see them. I see leaves starting to rustle. There is no wind whatsoever.
To be fair, also, that's what I mean by skittering.
I realize
this is an audio podcast, so to describe that a little better, think about what the grass looks like when you see like a snake slithering through.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean, but you know, just a little skittering.
Now, mind you, when I first entered that plane, or the clearing there was a squirrel that I think I scared the crap out of. Because it like came down a tree and all of a sudden I appeared and it was like, grr! Took off. So it wasn't a squirrel making those leaves move. It was just the leaves moving on their own. The last time I was there, it was raining. The rain kind of made, you know, disguise it a little bit, look like the leaves are moving.
Yeah.
There was no rain. There was no wind. Mm-hmm. But as I come up to the back, I see three distinct patterns. One going to the right, one going to the left, or vice versa. One going to the right, one going to the left, and one going straight ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Three distinct leaf movements, like in a succinct pattern of someone running away.
Interesting.
And they just scattered.
So
now,
I was just going to say that I can 100% back up.
Okay.
No, there was no breezes or anything because I was standing in a clearing.
Yeah.
Not surrounded by trees.
Yeah.
So had there been a breeze, I would have felt it.
Right. There was nothing going on. So I come around the back end. I see these two. And at this time, I hadn't said anything because they didn't respond to me back there. What makes me think they're going to respond to me here? Just walk up on them. And then I thought, that might scare them. So let me not do that, because they were clearly, when I got to where I'm, it's a straight shot to them.
Yeah.
They were moving, and I saw them go towards the path, the actual cement path.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, all right, they're going to hear me now. And that's when you heard me when I yelled, Alex.
Mm.
I yelled your name three times before that, before I crested around the bowl.
I didn't even hear you.
Called your name three times, called your name three times, and neither one of you heard me.
I didn't hear you call anyone a single time. I just heard him say, oh, there's Joe, and turned around and you were there.
And mind you, I'm going to where my friends are at. I'm not lurking. I'm not skulking. I'm not trying to look for anything. I'm not trying to move quietly as to not scare any animals. I'm moving at a pretty good space, making a lot of noise. And y'all never heard me coming up.
To be fair, I didn't hear you call my name the last time. Something tapped me on the shoulder and then made me turn around and look.
Really? Oh. Okay. Okay. I got little goosebumps going.
I literally did not hear you at all.
Yeah.
All until we were out on that path, I could not hear you.
Matter of fact, Ezra, did you not just say you didn't hear him call even once?
No.
Not even at the last one you guys turned around and looked for me?
Nope. I just heard him turn around, he turned around and I heard him say, oh, there's Joe.
Okay. Huh.
And I didn't hear you until you got on the path and started talking to us.
Okay. Because when I walked up, I still didn't even see the log. So that's weird. That's really weird.
That is actually extremely strange.
Nah, I wish I would have took my compass because I can't believe I didn't think of that. I actually bought a compass just for that.
Right.
Because I wanted to see if there's a weird,
fluctuation.
Yeah.
Oh, we should also preface this by saying, if it wasn't implied, so when we got where we were going, we originally pulled in at, I want to say, like, 10 to 2-ish.
Yeah.
So, to imply any geometrics that you might think of, at that point, the moon was, like, the faintest thumbnail.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the white part of your thumbnail at the bottom.
Exactly.
So, feasibly, it kind of had begun, but there was still a ways to go.
Around then, I remember I had the glasses on my shirt so that they wouldn't like fall or I would lose them or anything. I remember taking them, putting them on, and it was like a third to halfway covered.
Yeah, by the time that we got out of there, it was about halfway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's... All right, so now I've described the outside of it. What did you guys experience from when you went in? Not just with me, but when you went in till you got to the bowl.
So, I will give a quick, brief summary, and then I will let him go ahead and describe anything he did or did not see, because even I had not heard that yet.
Okay.
So, we went in. I was basically just... I mean, I wasn't in a hurry, but I was just trying to get him to the bowl so we could see it. Like, so it's kind of straightest, shortest path I could find, yada, yada, yada.
Right, I got you.
Approached the top of the bowl, much like you, saw it kind of split up, and it went around the edges on the top rim of the bowl.
Right.
And to describe this to you guys, and I think we kind of have a little bit, but this bowl is probably, 20-30 yards across, and it's kind of like it's a bowl shaped pit in the woods, but it looks like the best way we can describe it probably is it feels like one of those old like amphitheaters.
The actual best way to describe it.
And like there's this rim of like trees and woods all the way around it, and there are large boulders that are like kind of sitting in very ideal places where you would see like a throne or a court or a something like that. But like when I was walking up to the bowl, I didn't see three, I saw two, and they just split sideways and went around the rim of the bowl.
Okay.
At that point, what I will describe it as is, do you remember how fast the first time that we went up into the woods and these guys were there, but they didn't follow us into the woods? Do you remember how fast it felt like it was getting dark?
Yeah. Like real quick.
Like, I literally thought at this point, oh wow, the eclipse is like going faster than it's supposed to. So like that's when I looked up and I whistled for you, yelled for you.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Nope. Didn't hear it at all.
Not a damn thing. So you know, me and Ezra, we probably spent all in all, I would say 2 to 3 minutes at the top of the bowl.
Yeah.
We whistled, we yelled, and we headed back for the path because again, we had that to me anyway. We had that weird light thing where it felt darker than it was.
Yeah.
Indigo does have a habit of doing it, doesn't it?
It does. It really does.
And mind you, let me preface it by saying this. At any point in time, I don't think we were more than 20 feet away from each other. At the most, 30.
That's insane to me.
I don't know. I didn't see or hear you until I got out of
the room. I saw you guys the entire time.
But did you?
That is very interesting.
Well, I saw what looked like you.
But was it us?
I don't know if you guys are changeling or took echo memory shots of something.
Echo Knights.
All right, so Ezra.
So Ezra, your kind of experience.
Yeah, so Joe went off to do his thing. I looked back, was like, what are you doing? He said what he said. That part has already been gone over, so I'll skip to. We went in, and it was plain, it was trees. I was more focused on navigating than focusing on, like, the woods, or the spirits there, or the fae, or anything like that. Eventually got to the bowl, and didn't really pay much attention to it, because I thought, by now, hey, Joe should be here. And he wasn't. So we called for him, and called for him, and called for him, and eventually decided to just go back to the main path on the trail, the see if he would show up.
Yeah.
And one thing I do remember is there were, like, no thorns at all, or even branches on the way there. I mean, it was... there was varying levels. You would have to grab a few trees to navigate it. But there weren't many obstacles. And on the way back, it felt like there were just so many branches and thorns and tall grass.
I didn't think about that until you just said it. He's not wrong. It literally, so we came in. It felt like maybe I moved like one twig or briar branch out of the way. Maybe two or three tops.
Got you.
It almost felt like somebody cast an entangle spell trying to get out of there.
Wow.
And that reminds me of...
which is funny because I bounced my happy ass out there, no problem.
That reminds me of the other time going there. Because you just were able to go towards the bowl. And there was nothing in the way, but my mother and I, we were pretty close together that whole time, and I remember telling them to wait, and they didn't.
Yeah.
But obviously, you can say you...
yeah.
Don't... you didn't hear that. But it reminds me that you claimed everything was fine, you waited for us, but we just didn't follow. Mm-hmm. From our perspective, it...
you guys ran off like you had rockets up your butt.
Yeah, and there was just a bunch of mud and dirt and thorns kind of blocking the way, and it reminded me of that.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Nah, that is weird. So the next time we go up there and do that, Alex, you're standing out.
That's fine. If you want me to be on, and I mean, it's another test for another time.
Well, yeah, that's what I was meaning, yes.
But if you want me to be honest, I don't think there's a certain, like, numerology to it. I think there's a radii, where once you get outside of that bubble, like, if you're not part of the party, like, don't split the party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, and...
once you do, the party, I mean, you see one thing and they see another.
Yeah. And that's the weird part, is because I saw you guys walk in, go right to the bowl. I saw you guys standing at the bowl the entire time. Even as I went to the clearing and walked around, I still saw you guys the entire time. And was yelling your name and nothing.
That's pretty much how I feel like it happened with us time.
That was exactly what happened the other time.
From the time we got to the top of the bowl... and like I said, it was a surprise that I even saw the skittering when I did, because, to be fair, my son is very much like me when it comes to stuff like that. Like, I get kind of super focused on things, like, so I'm like, okay, I'm here to do this.
ADHD.
So we get to the top of the bowl, and like Ezra said, our first thing was, all right, we're here, where'd Joe go?
Yeah.
We looked for you.
Yeah.
I looked hard for you.
I'm not hard to spot. I'm 6'5" and translucent.
Did not see you. Yeah, translucent. Yeah. Yeah. Clearly. All right, because we didn't see you at all.
Right. Nah, I saw you guys the entire freaking time. And mind you, this is the first 45 minutes we're there.
Yeah.
So, all in all, when I come around, I see them, I yell their name, they responded. I thought they responded to me calling them. So, I walk up to them, and everything's easy peasy. We step out on the thing, and it how can I describe it? You know when, like, almost like an elastic effect. When you stretch a rubber band out really far, and it starts to show that crack in the whiteness.
Okay.
But then once you put it back together, it like snaps back.
Yeah.
That's what, and that was me clapping my hands together. That's what it felt like. Like as soon as I stepped out, I was like, boink. It was a weird feeling. And I'm pretty sure you two saw it because I went, the hell?
Yeah.
So.
That's interesting.
Yes, I think there's an odd thing about it up there where you said if you split the party, you won't see certain stuff. But then again, I've been up there enough. I've been a part of that party multiple times. I know exactly what I'm looking at and looking for. So as someone of that kind of mind that knows exactly what is going on, can they disprove it? Can they be part of the party with being 20, 30 foot away? Answer is no. I found that out today. But again, I knew it, so I knew how to get there to be part of it. But I wanted to experience it from your guys' end. Not that I disbelieved you, but to try it to see if it worked with somebody that is cognizant of how that place works.
Yeah.
And it
did. Or at least we think we know how that place
works. Right, right.
For the most part.
Yeah. But no, so we get done with that. We walk back to the other side where we had decided to pick to see the eclipse and all that. And to me, walking back there, I experienced absolutely nothing.
Yeah, there was nothing.
But it started to get that twilight effect.
Yeah.
Because by this time it went from a thumbnail to like a full on, like the thumbnail was the sun.
Yeah.
I would say, so like once we drop down into the valley to go back up to the original location, the viewing location we'll call it, by the time that I had a chance to slow down, I did kind of get that buzzy feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say so much as like a vibration, like when we originally went up there and touched the trees.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely like kind of the buzz that the grass had before we did that.
Yep, almost like the reverb on a sound system. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I will say this. I don't know if you guys saw it, but as we walked back to where that clearing was, when I saw the one tree in there with the weird lines on it that Ezra talked about, that place seemed lit up. It seemed like it was the only place that had light to it. The rest of it is twilight. This one's full-on daylight. So I actually put my glasses on, looked back at the eclipse, and saw, obviously I saw the sun being covered up by the moon, but it seemed like there was a beam of light directing right down on that. Could that be my mind playing tricks on me? Absolutely. 1,000% yes. But just that place itself, that's why I walked over there, because it seemed like it was lit up.
Considering it's indigo, I don't know what to believe.
Considering it's indigo, you walked the fuck off the other way. Right. Yeah. You're like, yeah, I'm going over here.
Split the party. Actually, he went with his mom. It's fine.
Right.
Now, see, when you guys walked away, you originally walked around the side of the house, you went down the hill, etc., etc., and you're gone.
Yeah. I want to get your perspective how you saw us.
Yeah. So, I actually walked up kind of close to the edge of where, you know, it drops off there, and I watched you guys, you know, walk down through the little valley and, you know, avoid some mud. It looked like there was some mud down there, and, you know, then you kind of disappeared into the brush on the opposite side there. And there was nothing weird or abnormal or outstanding about any of that. So I'm standing there, and I'm in the back, and I went to walk around back to where our car was parked, and I get back there, and I think I sat for like, I don't know, maybe a minute, 2 minutes tops, and then I come back into the rear of that property again, and I'm just standing there. just standing, doing nothing, not making any noise, not talking to anybody, nothing. And I was standing, it's kind of hard to describe. There was like a big patch of daffodils, like basically right there, right in the back, like as soon as you come around the corner. And so I'm standing beside those. And I heard, it sounded like, I know this sounds stupid, but it sounded like tree knocking. Like Bigfoot tree knocking.
Hmm.
And it was coming from behind me. And I didn't think a whole heap of it, because when you guys first went down over the edge, in that valley, I saw two red-headed woodpeckers that were hanging out on a tree.
So, you're a little woodpecking.
So, yeah, so I'm like, okay, whatever. There's just some back there, too. No biggie. But it almost made, like, a pattern. It was, like, three hits, and then it stopped for a second, and then one more, and then it stopped for a second, and then three. And I was like, that's fucking weird. And then it did it again. And so I looked behind me, just up into the trees, to see if I could see anything. I didn't see anything. So I turn back around, and I see a woman in a white dress. Very, very clearly, visibly, she might as well have been an actual living human being standing there. And she walked from the opposite side of where that wooden structure is in the rear, and around near that other doorway, and disappeared out of my sight when she walked around there. She didn't do anything. She didn't say anything. She just was there. Then shit started getting real weird. Everything, the whole damn place, got loud as fuck. I was hearing crickets, I was hearing birds, I was hearing tree and leaf rustling. It was like every single little critter all around the entire property had just started skittering around. It was crazy. And this should have been the time when they were fixing to go quiet, because it was just getting ready to get dark.
Yeah.
But it was actually really, really loud. Like, everything was making noise. And then eventually...
Nothing.
Nothing. Just literal nothing. Silence. And then you guys came walking back up, and I headed that way because I saw you coming.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. No, and that's the thing is, while we were in that valley, like, I heard the animals, I heard the birds chirping and all that. I'll explain that after. For those of you who just heard me say that, there is something that we're going to talk about as a group that I'm not willing to talk about right now on the podcast, but we will describe it later. It's something that we need to prove first. But yeah, all the animals were kind of silent by the time we got to the top of the hill, which is understandable. There's an eclipse happened. They think it's night because they don't have the news.
So
they don't have him. CNN or Fox News or, you know, Fox 8 or something like that. So, yeah, it got real quiet at that time. So, yeah.
Yeah, I found it extremely intriguing that just everything was making noise. It was very weird.
Mm-hmm.
And it was still light at that point. We were, you know, not even quite to the halfway eclipse point, because you guys still hadn't gotten back quite yet.
Yeah.
I just found it really, really weird. It almost felt like nature, the environment in general, was sort of reacting to her presence, is what it felt like to me.
Yeah. Oh, man, I wouldn't doubt it. I've seen that before. So, yeah. So, at this point in time, we get back to the top of the hill, and the eclipse is actually starting to happen.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, it went from, what you would consider dusk.
Yeah.
To, like, twilight in the matter of, like, 3.5 minutes.
Yeah, it was crazy fast.
It was, like, it was one of those things where seeing it when it was, like, mostly covered up, I'm like, oh, well, this is as dark as it's going to get. That's whatever.
Yeah. It got dark.
Dude, in the next 40 seconds, I'm like, damn, it's dark.
Yeah. And see, that's the weird part, is it was never that dark to me.
At one point...
I will explain here in a minute.
Yeah, I know.
So, prehensile to wrapping this up, why don't we go around the table, and while the eclipse was actually happening, what was everybody experiencing?
We'll start.
Yeah, go ahead, start.
So, of course, the total eclipse began. The moon went over the sun. And everyone was looking at it, obviously, because it's a total eclipse, you want to look at it. And it was dark in... Sorry.
Sort of twilight.
Right? Yeah. Sorry, I'm gathering my thoughts.
No, you're good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, looking around, Joe mentioned it when it happened. It kind of... There was like a blur effect if you looked in a different place. And I made my mother notice this. Joe... do you want to talk about the tree real quick?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'll get to that when I... Okay. But go ahead.
So, Joe and Alex, my father, went off to look at the thing that they will get to. Or Joe will get to.
And it really, I agree with that. It very much felt like some sort of weird, almost, I don't know, strange visual effect where it was just sort of blurry, almost.
Yeah, and maybe we should... go back a step, just real quick. There was... My mother pointed out that it kind of felt like the area was warding itself.
Mm.
There was a stick that kind of served as the border, or like a branch.
Well, log. We sort of used it like one.
Yeah,
we used it like it was a border. And I wanted to see if there was an energy shift or anything going over it and coming back. And when I did, Joe, do you want to say what you heard?
I heard something. I'm not sure, because at this time the eclipse is...
like full on happening.
Starting. It's not full on happening yet, but it's starting to happen. But again, there was a horn that went off that I'm pretty sure the... maybe it was Blossom, maybe it was the town or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know.
Set it off to let everybody know, hey, the eclipse is starting.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Maybe it was a get off the road or slow down, stop moving, because it's going to get dark.
Yeah.
But as soon as you crossed that, I heard like this, and that was it. It stopped.
That is so weird.
So it was like maybe 2 seconds.
So I'll agree with you. The only difference is with the horn that I heard when he crossed that branch or came back from it, I don't really remember which one it was now. The best way that I can describe the tone of it, it didn't sound like a city horn.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a tornado siren. It did not sound like that.
It sounded like a...
It very much sounded like what you would describe as, like, a war horn in a movie.
For those nerds out there, the Ewok's horn.
There you go.
In Return of the Jedi.
There you go. I do agree with that weird warning, though. I felt as if you were standing, like, very, very close to that particular portion of the property, it just felt calm and quiet and almost comfortable. And, you know, the wind was smelled nice, and it wasn't too hot or too cold. It was just nice. But I walked about... I was probably about 350 feet away, and it literally felt like someone just... I don't know, tossed a heavy blanket on you or something. It was just the weirdest sort of heavy feeling. Like, everything that was there, you could all of a sudden feel it, but the closer that you got back the other direction, it sort of just vanished away, like it was protected somehow. It was weird.
Yeah, and that's why I asked him to walk.
Exactly.
I wanted to see if the same thing happened again, because that's a warning sign.
Exactly.
So I was like,
so that's exactly what Ezra was doing, was it originally, the first time he did it, he was checking to see if he could feel the energy shift between being close and being far away.
Yeah.
And you did, right?
I did. And then I did it again. Did you hear it again? I don't remember.
Faintly.
Okay.
But the second time you did it, I more felt it than heard it.
Well, then I came back and I asked you to do the same thing, to walk out in
back in. Yeah, do what you did, yeah.
And you did. And it kind of sounded like it was coming from the Karn. I heard a very faint horn kind of sound in the distance.
Yeah.
But actually thinking about it now, it might have been closer to the tree that you will be.
Gotcha. Yeah. Aforementioned tree.
Which I find to be interesting. But anyways, back to the eclipse. You would look around and it would be, your eyes would kind of blur, which happens, but I was, Joe and my father were off doing their own thing, and I was with my mother, and we were looking around, and it kind of seemed like there was just heavy smoke everywhere. And if you paid attention, and I asked you, and you confirmed, do you smell smoke? And you did.
Yeah, and not only did I smell smoke, but, like, it really felt and looked as if there was a very, very thick black smoke just sort of rolling in all around us.
It smelled.
It smelled like smoke. It smelled like
fire. It smelled like smoke. And it was literally, like, choking me like smoke would if you were inhaling it.
Yeah.
Like, I have activity-induced asthma, so I sometimes just have an inhaler, and I had to take off of it because it felt like I genuinely could not breathe.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I noticed. I actually noticed because you kind of started wheezing a little bit, and that's why I took it out of my pocket and handed it back to you because I was like, what the fuck? Yeah, like, I legit thought that something was, like a fully involved fire. Something was engulfed in flames and it was burning and the wind was blowing the smoke in our direction is really what it was like. And then we were just surrounded by it.
It felt like it was mostly behind us, though, and during the entirety of the totality, it felt like there was just heavy negativity behind us. And I looked back, and because I was looking around trying to figure out, okay, what the hell is this? And
just on the specific hillside opposite of the valley you guys went in to go over to the path. Yeah.
And I looked between, there was a tree that had fallen and it was leaning against another tree and there was a shadow cast, and in that shadow sitting there I saw, have you mentioned her?
We have mentioned the dogs on the podcast. Yes.
I saw a white dog sitting there, watching me, and that was technically the second time that I saw that dog. And it was just there, and when totality ended and the light started coming back, it kind of faded away with the
darkness.
Dark.
I get that. Yeah. That's pretty much exactly the way that I remember it. It was ridiculously dark. Which was only compounded by the fact that we had this extremely thick black smoke just coming in from, I don't even know where the fuck it was coming from, but it was just everywhere, and it was blocking my vision, it was making it hard to breathe, like, it legit was like we were breathing inside of a house that was on fire. It was fucked up.
Yeah. Which is odd, because I didn't see that smoke.
For a brief moment, I seriously thought that the wind was, like, blowing smoke and, like, maybe my car was, like, engulfed in flames or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that's totally foreign to me.
From that direction down across the back side.
Yeah, I remember you turn around and say, something wrong, there's smoke.
Yeah.
And I look back at you like, what?
You're like, well, you, what?
Because I literally looked at you at that time. I saw no smoke.
We were surrounded in thick-ass black smoke.
Nope. Do you want to, like, briefly touch on the theory Joe had that my rings were responsible for that? Because, for listeners, I wear two rings. One is an actual ring, one is just a bent paperclip.
16-year-old, you know.
I wear them with intention. I kind of used them to bring along spirit guides with more of a physical attachment.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe theorized that that smoke was because the rings were being used for protection, so something couldn't actually come near me and show itself to me. So the
smoke
did.
Is it possible that the smoke, despite the fact that it did have an effect on us, it was, you know, it was hard to breathe, it really stunk, was quite literally obscuring us from something else. And I just happened to be involved in it because I was standing right next to him.
Maybe. I don't know. Like I said, me and him didn't see the smoke at all. We didn't even smell anything.
Even looking back at us, you didn't
see it.
Oddly,
goes back to that proximity thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
In those woods.
Yeah. No, I'll agree with that. I don't know. It was a very, very fucking interesting moment.
Mm-hmm.
So you and him experienced the same thing then?
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Okay. Yeah, because you two were near each other the entire time.
And it's always us experiencing the same thing.
I know. It could never be like, I walk away and you're standing next to Dad or Joe.
Yeah, us standing together and everyone's running away.
That didn't sound like you can go over there.
Us standing together and they don't see,
so they
smell.
They don't see what's going on with us.
The smoke that is literally coming
out. It literally felt like we were standing, you know, right beside, like, a fully involved house fire.
Like, it felt like I was going to have to get on the ground because,
yeah.
Oh no,
it
there's
wasn't,
smoke.
It wasn't hot. I didn't feel, like,
yeah, it wasn't
heat
hot
from,
at
like,
all.
Flames or anything.
Yeah.
In fact,
just,
if anything, it was kind of cold.
Yeah, it did get a little chilly, but that was during the actual totality,
yeah.
So it was a little chilly.
I thought it still was fine.
I mean, I thought it was the most beautiful experience ever.
Oh, it was gorgeous, but,
it was
not
a little
exactly
chillier than prior to that, though.
I guess.
It was gorgeous, but not exactly pleasant for my lungs.
Yeah. It was an interesting experience.
It was cheeky.
I don't know where the smoke came from. I don't know what it was, but it was...
Yeah.
Hey, when you play with the paranormal, the weird veil,
right?
You're gonna get weird shit.
Well, and it wasn't even like fog or mist. It legit was like house fire smoke.
Yeah. See, that's weird to me. All right.
So that's my experience there.
So do you want to go or you want me to go?
Joe, you're pointing at me like you want me to say something.
No, I was just saying, are you wanting to go or you want me to go?
You know what? I'll go ahead and go.
Okay.
I want to get your take on something.
Okay.
This is the only time in my life this has ever happened to me. It kind of blew my mind and I was real quiet about it. And this is the first that I'm mentioning it because I really wanted to take a lot of time to fully try to wrap my head around what happened. I, much like I said, am a pretty focused person when it comes to doing things. It's
okay.
The ADD, alright?
Yeah,
like,
ADHD,
I'm like,
yeah, I guess.
Okay, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this. And then I'm like, I'm here to do this, this is what I'm going to do. So, I mean, to be fair, if anything, that made the trip kind of weird for me because I really wanted to see the eclipse, but I also really wanted to research as a paranormal investigator, too.
Right.
Try some weird shit.
Yeah.
Weird shit happened.
Yeah?
So, while I was over behind you, as you guys know, I took a few pictures. And as I was taking pictures and I was getting frustrated at first because my eyes could see it, but I couldn't get my camera to do the thing, right? Where it, you just see the ring.
Samsung.
And I help him with that. Zoom in, focus, drag the brightness.
Kind of. So let me explain to you what happened. So as I was standing over just behind Joe, off to the side a little bit, and I took the final picture, like through the branches, that's the one that's going to be posted on Facebook or whatever.
Already done.
I had a hand placed on my shoulder. And it said, see through my eyes. When I pulled the camera down, everything that I saw, it was like looking at the negatives from a photograph.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Colors inverted.
Now, are you talking about looking at the sun or just looking at everything in general?
Everything in general.
Gotcha. Okay.
Colors inverted.
It's
was
brings me back to the EVP.
I looked up. I saw a face in that tree.
Mm-hmm.
You also saw a face in the tree.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a white crow land on the branch of that tree.
Okay.
Vision whited out. Back to normal, and the eclipse was over. It was light again.
Okay.
That's very interesting.
All right. I got you. Because I saw the face.
I saw a negative.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Well, I'm going to let you finish, but are you done?
No.
Well, Kanye.
No.
That was it, Kanye. We're good.
My take on a little bit, and I'll explain how I am as a person first. The eclipse, cool. I've seen an eclipse before. It was something that was cool. I wanted to see it, but after I saw it, meh, done. You can call that my OCD. Like, meh, on to the next. Because yeah. I am a person that can multitask and get the most out of multitasking because I never skip a beat on it. So I can do a lot of things at one time. I hate it and love it at the same time. So, saw the eclipse, looked at it through the little special glasses, took a picture of it on my phone, I moved on. Like, cool. I want to see what's on ground level. Like, I saw the thing in the sky, it looked cool, took a picture of it, now I'm on to this. So, at the time, you guys were taking pictures with your phones.
Mm-hmm.
I, of course, walked forward to the valley that we were previously in.
I did see you walk up that way.
Yeah, because I wanted to see what that valley looked like and what the spot that I mentioned before looked like.
Yeah.
With the tree that Ezra keeps mentioning. I wanted to see because it was lit up and it looked like that, like a almost like a moonbeam was sticking straight on it earlier. I want to see what it looks like during the eclipse. I mentioned this before when I ghost hunt. I don't really like to use equipment all that much because I like to see it with my own eyes. I, much like you were referenced to, wanted to see things through my eyes. When you said that, that caught my attention because as I walked forward, I literally heard, "Now you see through my eyes." And then I saw the face on the tree and I looked down and I cannot fully describe what I saw down there without sounding like I should be in an asylum.
I feel it.
And I feel that anybody that is listening to this that has experienced the paranormal or experienced anything of other realm nature would probably get it.
Mm-hmm.
I looked down in there and I saw the place with the tree lit up like a freaking beacon. And mind you, my eyes at this time were doing this weird, I want to say when you're going into like hyperspace, when you watch the sci-fi movies and they're going into hyperspace, you get that weird blurry vision. But then all of a sudden you go into hyperspace and it's clear.
Mm-hmm.
That is what my eyes did. Went negative. I literally saw like I was looking at a photo negative, like you said. Things were lit up. I'm looking over there and I literally see like a celebration going on down that valley. Actual beings and all that, just like, hey, you know, kind of like what we were doing. We're there to experience something that was pretty cool. Saw the whole thing happen, play out right in front of me. I did not, however, see the white crow. I didn't see that.
Well, I mean, in hindsight, it was probably a black crow, just in negative, it was white.
correct. I did, however, hear it, whatever they do. But in the valley itself, nothing in that clearing with the tree happened.
Really?
It was all around it. So, that is what my eyes saw, and it continued on after the eclipse had started to pass. Like, I saw the whole party happen, and then once the moon moved away from the sun, like, the negative that was there as I looked across the valley started to just wipe away. And as the light came across it, things just went away. And yeah, that's why I called you guys like, hey, and I did the whole, I clicked in the air and I hate that. I apologize for that. But I absolutely hate doing that. But I was trying to get your guys' attention to come like, see this shit, man? And they were into their own little thing of whatever was happening with them. Once that cleared, I heard Teresa say, "Guys, something wrong. I see smoke." I turn around, and I saw no smoke whatsoever. I saw Alex just standing there in like a stupor. That's where I could tell you saw something. When he's ready to talk about it, he'll talk about it, but he's got to process it in his ADHD mind first. So I'll let him talk about that. But yes, I did in fact see the face in the tree. That is the green man. So yeah, I saw that dude. So yeah, that's my experience of the eclipse.
Didn't you see something with the house too?
Oh yeah.
I wasn't going to mention that though.
Okay.
Because that's
we'll talk about that later.
That's inconsequential, but yeah.
Valid. So that's fucking weird.
Yeah.
That's fucking weird.
But again, where you and Ezra were standing, you were standing right on the edge of it. Because at a certain point in time, I looked back at you two. Mm-hmm. Didn't see any smoke, just saw you two standing outside of it. And then I looked back and I'm like, oh, party's still going on. There's Mardi Gras down there. Like,
no, when I turned around to see you two, because I was mildly cognizant of like time, space, right? Like, I'm like, oh, I haven't checked on them in a second. I should turn and look. So, but when I turned and looked at you guys, the irony is, like, if you've ever watched those movies with, like, people in the woods at night, like, when they get to, like, the edge of where the light of the camera would catch it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
Like, you guys felt off in the distance. You didn't feel like you were
right there, which we really weren't that far apart.
No, again, you were about 20 feet away.
Yeah.
But it felt like you guys were about 50.
That's crazy.
I don't even know that I had the depth perception at that point. Just, you know, I mean, let's face it. If I'm sitting 15 feet away from my TV, it's just, you looked more like the picture on a television. Like, like if you were watching a movie and it's one of those night shots.
Like we were colorblind.
And you see the person that's like almost out of camera frame.
Yeah.
But still right there. I mean, close enough that you can see them, but it's just the way that the light bent. It was just...
Yeah.
So very strange. That's weird.
And again, that is kind of what I wanted to see happen. I'm the type of person when everybody's looking one way, I'm looking the other.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my DNA. It's just who I am.
Yeah.
So when I looked down that valley and I saw that, I'm like, ooh. And this goes back to our discussion about Indigo.
Mm-hmm.
The very first one when we did that EVP that you mentioned earlier.
Exactly, yeah.
When I asked what that was and we got the EVP of saying my eyes. Full circle, man.
That's 100% what that reminds me of.
Yeah.
So then it makes me wonder, the voice that you heard, did it sound like that?
Deeper.
Hmm.
For me, anyway.
No, only, this was...
Only, it's hard to tell because in the EVP itself, it kind of sounds like off in a distance.
Yeah.
And this was like right in my ear.
Yeah. So it was almost like if I took the microphone and... Or left the microphone here and walked over there and continued to talk to it. It sounded like your voice, a deeper voice, from farther away.
Gotcha.
This one sounded like I sound right now up on the mic.
In your ear.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting.
But yes, it did sound like it, but...
I guess it sounded like a masculine voice.
It sounded like an authoritative voice.
This one, I thought that EVP sounded that way as well.
This one's like, you're in my house. You're welcome, but you're going to see things my way.
Gotcha. It's really crazy. I don't know how to describe that.
Huh? Neither do I. That's why we have a podcast.
I know that.
But all in all, I had fun tonight.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah.
Today. Yeah.
Today.
Yeah. Today. Well, tonight, today, at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right. That was by far, and I mean... Take all sort of paranormal things completely away, and I still think that was most definitely one of the most spectacular, beautiful things that I have ever witnessed.
Oh yeah, absolutely,
it was just plain amazing.
Well, worth it. And don't get me wrong, it'd be cool if we had a haunted house to just be at, right? To, like...
Right.
But we do the research we can with the places that we know and the places right. that we're most comfortable and kind of feel like home to us, so...
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I was glad I was outside at that point in time. Like, I didn't want to be stuck in a house with that. Or a Agreed. Building that I'm ghost hunting.
Agreed. I think that we picked the perfect spot to be, and
Now, granted, what I'd love to... Like, I want the eclipse to be longer so I can actually do something with it. But, like, I would love to ghost hunt during an eclipse. That would be freaking awesome.
Sorry, it's 3.5 minutes long. I kind of got to be outside for that. Right. Don't have time to pull off an EVP session. And
all those spirits inside are like, oh, man.
Right. But, you know, then the researcher in me kicks in, and I'm like, oh, I wonder what energy levels do during that time.
Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's our eclipse stories. Hopefully you guys had similar stories, but hopefully you guys found it as beautiful as we are, because Absolutely. It's one of nature's events that is free.
And relatively rare, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you were there to see it, if you ever have a chance to see it.
Yeah.
It's definitely... It was worth seeing. I mean, it's not something I'd drive 5 hours to see, like out of state, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
But if you get lucky and it's there, take advantage, man.
All I can say is thank you, Ohio, because traditionally she is not good to us with events like that. We usually don't get to see jack shit. And she did well today.
I've seen a lot of stuff. But anyways, this is what I will say with it. If anything, I thought this taught the world a lesson. Mm. Nature is beautiful. This world is gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Stay off your phones. Stay off your computers.
Yeah.
Get outside and experience something.
Yeah.
Yes, there's people out there. They're annoying. They're crappy. I understand that, but you're not out there for that. You're out there to experience what this world has to offer.
Facts.
Get off your mobile devices and experience for what it is.
Take a hike. And I mean that in a nice way.
Take a nice hike.
And Ezra, thank you so much for joining us. I hope you enjoyed your experience with the eclipse.
He'll loosen up.
It was fun. I cannot wait to listen to this and hate the sound of my recorded voice.
You get used to it.
Luckily, we grew up with answering machines that we got to experience that on.
Exactly.
But yeah, until next time.
Solo. Peace out. Have fun.
Don't fuck with the Baba Yaga.
You eclipse it.